We're going to review a little bit of something we preached about this time, exact time, actually, last year. You know, I don't know if you know this or not, but God will pull a fast one on you every once in a while. Like, put you on the mountain, show you everything, and then you think it's going to happen that day, and, you know, 30 years later, you're still at it, you know, that kind of thing. Well, he did that last year about this key point in Scripture called the 70th year. Before you understand the 70th year, how many of you heard me preach on the Trump Cyrus generation? Have to review, because you'll have to understand this. We're not talking political here. You've got to understand. Take your political view and put it on a shelf. We're talking about something God is doing. Amen. God had given us this vision out of Zechariah chapter 4, this lampstand and all that is entailed, and so many of you understand that now. But you have to understand something about the prophetic generation that came out of Babylon. During that 70 years they were locked up in Babylon, they came out exactly on the 70th year. God prophesied they were going to go in beforehand. He prophesied they were going to come out in the 70th year. When they came out by a man named Cyrus. As you know, Cyrus, Isaiah 45, he says, I'm going to give you the gates of brass are going to be broken. And God anointed him. I'm going to give you the treasures of the nations. And so God anointed Cyrus and he took down Babylon. He told him he was going to give him Babylon. Now you have to understand, Babylon during that day, just the top of the walls, they would have chariot races on the top of the walls. That's how thick their walls were and how, I mean, it was an impenetrable city. Nobody ever thought it was ever going to come down. But God, everyone say, but God. And he anoints Cyrus while they're all partying one night and the river had dried up to come up underneath the gates and he took the city of Babylon, and that shifted that whole dispensation during that time. And that's what caused the release. It was Cyrus that granted the formal release of all the children of Israel out of Babylon back to their promised land. Now, during that time when they came out, that's when you see the book of Zechariah, book of Haggai, book, all of these prophecies that spoke about during this time, God started giving this generation a prophetic anointing like no other. I mean, that's when he gave the prophecy of Haggai when he says, once again, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and dry lands. I'm going to shake all nations and the treasures of all nations will come into my house and I will fill my house with glory, saith the Lord. The silver is mine, the gold is mine. He prophesied of a wealth transference, and the glory of the latter day house would be greater than the former. But there are men that actually lived through this whole season, and they came back and saw the former estate, and they cried when they saw the rebuilding of the temple. I'm like, this looks nothing like the former estate when they were rebuilding it. But God said it would be greater. He said it in Zechariah. He talked about Zechariah 4, the lampstand, and they would bring forth the crowning stone. He talked about in Zechariah chapter 6, where they took the high priest Joshua, they put him on a king's throne, and they took wealth out of Babylon, forged a crown and crowned him. Zechariah 10, the war horse. There were so many prophecies from Haggai to Zechariah, even Isaiah before it all happened, that spoke about this generation that were never fulfilled. I don't even know if I could have lived there, living in that prophetic hour where God was releasing so many prophecies that weren't even for their generation. He was giving it to for another generation. It was like a mirrored generation to come. And all of those things that God spoke, it never happened. The glory of that house that they built when they came back from Babylon did not even touch Solomon's house. Not in glory, not in wealth, not in fame, not in anything, really. So many of these things that they lived their whole life through and never saw the fulfillment of those days. Because God was speaking of another day. He embedded all of these prophecies for a last day church that would emerge and receive all of the prophecies that were unfulfilled during that time out of Haggai, Zechariah, Isaiah, all of these and even Jeremiah, which will be in the day. All these prophecies were unfulfilled. God even waited, even the early church didn't receive, but the last day church will. So I want you to go to Isaiah 23. God gave us this revelation I think he gave me this one before I even the ministry. Speaking of Tyre, Isaiah gave this revelation about the king of Tyre. You'll see this in Ezekiel 26, 27, 28, Isaiah 23, speaking of Tyre, king of Tyre. You remember Ezekiel 28, the king of Tyre, it actually described the devil himself as being the king of Tyre. And how the Lord got me into this series in the early days, he said, he spoke this to me. He says, why would you think the devil, who boasts himself to be the god of this world system, would call himself the king of a city they spread fishnets upon? I'm like, wow. A lot of times you think you just think that kind of thought, but a lot of times when the Holy Spirit wants to lead you into something, he's going to inject thoughts. He'll inject questions and get you to start seeking. Well, that opened up this whole treasury trove of revelation, which I can't fully get into today, other than it spoke about this city that the devil called himself the king of this city. The reason he did is because in Ezekiel 26, it spoke about how the gates of Jerusalem had been broken and now I'm being replenished. That when Solomon fell, his wealth endured 8 international plunderings. Say 8. 8 plunderings. And there's still so much left over that Nebuchadnezzar ended up taking the rest of it to Babylon. Well, all of that wealth went somewhere. And what had happened is it all got conglomerated in this city called Tyre. Tyre became what was called the merchandising mart of the nations. And Tyre was like a modern day New York Stock Exchange. And all the trade of the nations came to Tyre. All the devil was doing. And the devil said, okay, now I'm king of this city. I'm king of the world's wealth. I'm king. And so he sits on top of it and says, I'm king. All he was doing was mirroring Solomon's day. Because Solomon, God brought the glory, he brought the trade, he brought everything into Jerusalem. He brought the worshipers, Solomon had everything. That house, there was nothing like it in the earth. And so all the devil did is he mirrored that. But God spoke a prophecy about the fall and destruction of Tyre that never happened either. There's another one of these particular revelations that I want you to see this. Go to Isaiah 23. So let's look at the latter part of it. We'll look at verse 15. So it said, verse 15, he says, it shall come to pass in that day, said that day. That is a very awesome day, by the way. They said, Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years. Here's this 70 year theme again, 70 years. According to the days of one king. And after the end of 70 years, Tyre would sing as a harlot. And take her harp, go about the city, the harlot that has been forgotten. Make sweet melody, sing many songs, that thou mayest be remembered. It shall come to pass after the end of the 70 years that the Lord would visit Tyre. And she would commit financial fornication with all the kings of the world upon the face of the earth. Now watch this prophecy right here. And her merchandise and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord. It shall not be treasured or laid up. For her merchandise shall be for those who dwell before the Lord to eat sufficiently in durable clothing. Here you see a picture of wealth transference that God was actually going to enter this system. Tyre was the merchandising mart of all the nations. All the world's wealth, Solomon's wealth, all conglomerated into Tyre. And all of a sudden, now if you know the history, when Nebuchadnezzar took Jerusalem down, he also took Tyre down. He was under God's conquest. God had put an anointing on him to do this, to bring his people into captivity. Well, Tyre had fallen during that time. But Tyre, after 7 years when the children of Israel were released, Tyre never revived. But here this scripture said Tyre would revive. But it never did. Because it was speaking of another time. And that Tyre, by the way, is not just a natural city anymore. It's a spiritual stronghold that governs global wealth and has been governing global wealth since the fall of Solomon. But God, here again, he tells you in Haggai, and one of those 70 year prophecies, once again, say once again, I'll shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and dry lands, the treasures of all nations will come into my house. These are mirroring image prophecies. All right. All of this is speaking of a latter day house, say a latter day house, that's going to receive a wealth transference and the restoration of the glory of God for the purpose of God in the last days. So when we fast forward, when we get to go to Isaiah 45, So let's get back to Cyrus for a minute. Let's look at where we're at prophetically. Because last year, what's today's date? Today's May 12th. Last year, on May 14th, something happened of prophetic significance that we were looking for a very long time. We knew that there was embedded within the scripture a significance to the 70 years because we were this prophetic generation God was speaking of. God was going to do something to give us revelation concerning the 70 years and how that would fit in God's time frame. Because not only was it applying to them, it's applying to us. So watch this, Isaiah 45, say, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him. I will loose the loins of kings. I will open before him the two-leaved gates. His gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee, and I will make the crooked places straight. I'll break in pieces the gates of brass. I'll cut in sunder the bars of iron. I will give thee the treasures hidden in vaulted places, is really what that means. The hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by name, am the God of Israel. Look at verse 5. I am the Lord, there is none else, there is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. When God called Cyrus, he didn't even know God. Now that's important. He did all this before he even knew him. But he says, I'm going to give you the treasures hidden in darkness. Let me just show you something here. When all of this day, all of Solomon's glory and all of this wealth of Solomon went to Tyre, Nebuchadnezzar raided Tyre. And all of David's wealth, say David's wealth, went into Tyre, went into Babylon. When Nebuchadnezzar raided Tyre, not only did he take the children of Israel that was left and the wealth that was left in Jerusalem, he also raided Tyre and he brought all of it and he stuck it under Babylon. And it was all put in these vaults underneath. History will tell you all this had all this vaulted treasure. You ever seen the movie National Treasure when they opened the, all this wealth was stuck under Babylon. And here God's telling Cyrus, I'm going to give you, Cyrus, the treasures hidden in darkness. The reason God said, I'm going to give you this, because it's my stuff. It's not your stuff. I've been watching over it for 70 years. Watch this. While the children of Israel were in Babylon, crying, wailing, having pity party, the wealth of their nation was sitting right up underneath them the entire time. They would walk on top of it and not even know it. They were serving other nations, walking on top of their treasures and the wealth of their nations while they were in captivity. It was all sitting underneath them. Isn't that amazing? God was watching over it until the time it was time to come out. That's what God's doing now. Comes time to come out, God will turn it loose. Now, we knew there was a prophetic significance. Now, in Revelation chapter 3, it says, he that has the key to the house of David, I will open this house again. And no man's going to shut this. We know that's a last day house. He goes, because you've kept my word, I'll keep you from the hour of temptation coming upon the whole world. That's the 7-year tribulation. It's a church that's going to precede the 7-year tribulation. But God says, I'm going to reopen this house to you. See, here again, he's talking about this house, the house of David. I'm going to open this all up again. I'm going to open the glory up. I'm going to open the 24-hour worship. I'm going to open up the wealth. I'm going to open all back up. Everything that they were under the shadow, you will be under the fullness. Amen? Now, we already know all this. We already know this. So we knew that there was a significance to this 70 years. And so right before this, the Lord started speaking to me. Now, I understand your political views, but I'm not talking political. I'm talking spiritual here, right? The Lord starts speaking to me even a long time before even Trump gets off. He goes, he's Cyrus. He's Cyrus. He starts getting prophesied to by multiple people. You're the Cyrus. You're the Cyrus. You are Cyrus. Listen, God didn't appoint a pastor to lead this country right now. He appointed a bulldozer. He's not a politician either. You got to get that out of your mind. I like someone once said, says, I don't have to like him to know that he's God's person. Whether you like him or not, he's been appointed for a specific time in human history. He didn't even know God. Don't think he was going to be appointed a perfect guy. Cyrus didn't even know God. But something happened that no other president in the United States did. He recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And he built an embassy. He said, rebuild the embassy. And they did it exactly. Are you ready for this? Exactly. 70 years to the day Israel became a nation. The exact day. Say 70 years. 70. Let me read you some facts here. Because we thought we were in time zone last year. And I was preaching this one day before this May 14th came, 2018. And we had a raw service because we were moving into the 70th year. We knew it. This is the history right here. On May 14th, 1948, as the Jews of Palestine declared the establishment of a Jewish state called Israel, U.S. President Harry Truman granted immediate recognition on behalf of the United States, becoming the first head of state to do so. So they formally recognized Israel in 1948 as a nation on May 14th. On May 14th, 2018, 70 years later, President Trump moved the U.S. Embassy operations to Jerusalem from Tel Aviv, and he formally recognized Jerusalem as the capital. And because he did that, are you ready for this? The Sanhedrin priesthood, the one now, not the one in Jesus' day, created that coin right there on his behalf. Now, notice this. It says to fulfill 70 years. You see Trump there? Who's left of him? They recognized him as the Cyrus. Their nation recognized him. You are the Cyrus of our generation. To fulfill what? 70 years. Look what's on top of them. The lampstand. The final operation of last days. You have to get our series to understand the lampstand. It's phenomenal. Look at the right. You see the building? It took us a little while to figure it out. See the building? That's actually a king's throne chair. See the chair? Look on the top of the chair. What do you see? That's a crown. The crowning of the church. The Sanhedrin priesthood. I don't know who did this. They were prophetically inspired. There's so many more things in there. But, I mean, you have the Holy Spirit. You have the lampstand over them because the lampstand was prophetically prophesied that Zerubbabel, which is Christ, is going to come and lay the final stone in. The crowning. They call it the crowning stone. The last stone to be laid. The final movement of God to be laid in the church. He's going to bring it out and God is going to crown his church. Fulfilling Zechariah 6. Fulfilling Zechariah 10. Fulfilling the running of the white horse. And here the Sanhedrin priesthood, they recognize that Cyrus now is in office again. And the recognition of Cyrus in office, confirmed by the Sanhedrin priesthood, is the recognition that we are in our 70th year. That we entered that 70th year, which is the prophetic fulfillment of the people, the time the people of God to come out. The time for Isaiah 23 to happen. The time for Haggai chapter 2 to happen. Zechariah 4, Zechariah 6, Zechariah 10, Revelation 3, 4, 5, and 6, verse 2. You don't want to be here anywhere past verse 2. You want the book of Revelation to open if you understand what's coming. If you understand the move of God that's been embedded into that book. In the first 5 chapters, is this glorious move of God. Another outpouring is coming. We're waiting, and it requires the people coming out from Babylonian system. A coming out. I'm going to open the house of David again. I'm going to bring you out of Babylon. I'm going to crown my church. And here the Sanhedrin produced it, but created a throne chair with a crown on top of it. the crowning of the priesthood. I mean, you can't get any more confident. I mean, we were all over this last year. I mean, we were all over this. This is a year ago. We preached this a day or two before May 14, 2018, and we knew, hey, we're moving into the 70 years. This is our time to come out. We knew we were there. We knew this is it. Cyrus is in office. The Bible called him a wild bird, called him a wild bird in Isaiah. I mean, tough. You don't have to like him, but he's still God's agency. Amen. So we knew all this, and all of a sudden, we move into the 70th year. And all of a sudden, God starts ramping the revelation up. And what he does, because we've been carrying that lampstand, I don't have time to get into it very much, for 30 years, he fulfills the whole mystery of it during this 70 years. I mean, just one revelation after another. If you want to hear some serious revelation, go into the series called Mystery of Time Habitation. He gave us some stuff last year. And he put us in front of this doorway. I don't know how to explain it. We were led here. We were led as a church, as a body, to understand these last days. To understand what's in that lampstand. What's coming on the other side of the crowning of the church. What's coming when the kings and priests will reign in the earth. The running of the white horse. And all, he started giving us all this revelation. And starts crowning the revelation. And all of a sudden we start moving up in this doorway. I set before you an open door. And the key to the house of David, I open a door, no man's going to shut this door. I am going to bring this house back into the earth. I'm going to bring this government back in the earth. I'm going to bring this glory back in the earth. And all the treasuries, I'm bringing it back into the earth. I am going to fulfill everything I spoke during that 70-year generation that came out of Babylon that was unfulfilled. It's for your generation. Amen? So we're rolling. I mean, we're up in the door. For a whole year, especially for 9 months when he started giving assignments on the door, we stood in this, I don't know how to explain it right now, we stood in this heavenly doorway for 9 months straight, almost daily, going up on the mountain of God, standing there holding this constitution before God, holding it up. This is the lampstand. This is the coming move of God. This is what God's doing. This is what's going to happen. We knew it was going to happen the 70th year. And all of a sudden one day, it was Cody actually, he doesn't know this, but he goes, hey, Pastor, you know May 14th's coming up pretty soon. I said, I know. He goes, well, God can't lie. He goes, this hasn't happened yet. I said, we still have time. And really, though, I felt at that point I was racing against the clock. I'm like, Lord, we're standing here, we're doing everything you told us to do, but we keep inching closer to the end of the 70 year. And like you said, it was going to be 70 years. This was going to happen and nothing's happened. And now we're a day and a half away from this midnight service. And I don't understand what's going on. And I started praying. All right, God, I lay down on my big face stuff and I just laid on the floor. And I started submitting all this before him. I said, I need to understand. I know you led us here. I know you gave us this revelation. I know you did this. I know we're in the prophetic season, but we are closing out the 70th year fast. And you know what he speaks to me? Read it again. I'm like, God, literally, I said, God, I've preached this for 15, 20 years, some of this stuff. What do you mean, read it again? Seriously? Read it again? So I go and read it again. And I go to two passages that I'm going to give you today that's going to set the stage for tomorrow night's midnight service. Because, number one, there's not very many people on the earth that actually understand the time we live in right now. Most people think the book of Revelation is a 7-year tribulation and we don't want it to come very soon, but get us out of here before it happens. You actually want Revelation chapter 5 to happen. It is the final great move of God, the crowning of the church. We want this to happen. And so we started reading. I'm going to take you over back to Isaiah 23 to begin with. Go back to Isaiah 23. I started looking at my, you've got to be kidding me. And so I had so much fun with this. I sent this revelation out to a couple people this last week. I said, riddle me this, riddle me that. They were just dancing all around it. I was just laughing. I said, you're all over it. You're dancing on top of it. Yep, you just stepped right on it, but they couldn't see it. I'm like, don't, no worries. I couldn't see it either. There's a something about God when he pulls a fast one. He see, God needed us to stand in that doorway. But if he told us the exact time, we wouldn't be standing in that doorway. So God got us believing within that 70th year, all this was going to happen. That got confirmed globally. God is believing that so we can stand in that door for a whole year in faith. And then right, literally the last week of the 7th year, God says, oh, by the way, read it again. All right, 2-3 places he says this. He'll say in Jeremiah 25, Jeremiah 29, Isaiah 23, he says the exact same thing. Let's see if you can catch it first time around. Look at verse 15. It shall come to pass in that day, the Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years according to the days of one king. At the end of 70 years, Tyre would sing as a harlot. Look at verse 17. It shall come to pass after the end of 70 years that the Lord would visit Tyre. Did you see it? At the end. At the end of 70 years. Say at the end. He didn't even say at the end. He said after the end. Of 70 years. If I'm 30 years old and someone asks me, how old are you? I don't walk around and say, I'm 30 years old, 6 months and 14 days. I'm 30 years old until my next birthday, I turn 31. That is the way it works, right? So all this time from May 14, 2018, all the way up to tomorrow midnight, Israel is still in their 70 years. We're in our 70th year. What's he say about the 70th year? After the end. He is prophetically marking a very specific date that he purposely hid from us. Even we preached this and none of us saw it. I didn't see it. Nobody saw it. Yet it was there. What's after the end of 70 years? 71. Amazing, deep call to deep, but the noise of the water spout. What's after 70? What's after the end of 70? When does 71 happen? Midnight, Monday night, Tuesday. 71st year marks a prophetic fulfillment, the beginning of the last days. The beginning of the crowning, all the stuff God prophetically prophesied, not one of it was going to get fulfilled until after the end. Say after the end. Go to Jeremiah 29. Because Jeremiah says it too. God actually says it confirms in the mouth of two or three. Those of you that are carrying the full revelation of what is going to transpire, you understand the day and hour we live in. I'm like, God, how could we have preached this and not seen this? He goes, I didn't want you to see it. If you would have seen it, I couldn't get you to stand at a door for 8 months knowing you can't go through that door. I wouldn't have gotten any faith from you. So what he did, he made us believe we were in the 70th year, which he didn't lie to us. He just didn't tell us everything. That's the way God does. He gives you what you need. You're on a need-to-know basis with heaven. He gives you what you need when you need it, right? Say, after the end. So he got us a whole year thinking, I mean, I should say, any day. We're in the 70th year. It could happen any day. So every day was a faith day. And that was by God's design. We stand in front of that door holding his word before him every day. It's a faith day. I'm like, God, I gave you a whole year. He goes, yes, you did. I'm like, couldn't you have told me? He goes, no, I told you that. What would you do if I'd have told you nothing's going to happen until the end of the 70th year? But God knows how to get you engaged and get you in timing. You weren't there. We weren't there too early. We weren't there too late. We were there right on time. God needed faith, a representation. Amen. Jeremiah 29. Watch this. Are you ready? he confirms it too. Verse 10. Thus saith the Lord. That after, say what? After 70 years what? Why did anybody see this a year ago? After 70 years be accomplished, completed. Say after 70 years be accomplished. After 70 years. In other words, when you turn 71, the full 70 years have to be accomplished. The full 70 years have to complete. Then I'll perform my good word to you. Watch what he says. I will visit you. Do you understand when he's come bringing the children of Israel out of Babylon, he's about to bring his whole church out of the Babylonian system? You're about to see it all. He goes, I will visit you. I'll perform my good word to you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you your expected end. God needed expectation. He didn't want us sitting in Babylon moaning and groaning. He wanted us sitting there with an expectation. We're coming out. Everyone say, we're coming out. He wanted these words mixed with faith, with expectation. Before he delivered, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me. Just the other day, God said, my eyes are turning into this house. This is right before that revelation came. My ears are turning into this house. Then you will pray, and I will hearken unto you. You shall seek me and find me when you search with me all your heart. I will be found of you. I will turn away your captivity. I'll gather you from the nations. All this prophetic symbolism is marked for our generation just like it was for theirs. God's got us on a timeline, but at the same time, he had us in faith too. He has us in faith with the expectation of the house of David restoring, the treasuries of David, the crown restoring, the glory restoring, the reigning of the kings and priests. Jeremiah 25 said the exact same thing. When these days be accomplished, God has marked our generation to the day. I'm going to tell you something. I said this last year, and I was only a year off. But I thought I was in the year. I know I'm in the year now. Come tomorrow night, midnight. Do you know how few people even know what's happening? Do you know what gift it is to have signs and understanding of the times? To understand that there is a door that's about to open. God's about to do something so mighty, so great. And he marked it down to a day. All I know is, God spoke to me. He said, I want you and those that can hear my voice to be standing in this house that I gave you this revelation in when the clock strikes midnight. Monday night, I want you to hold these words to me. Because I can tell you, we understand what's coming. We know what's on the other side of that door. God's already marked it. There's 500 teachings, probably, at least, on the right hand of God. God laid a whole foundation of this last day house. He marked the whole ascent into the right hand of God. He marked what's behind the door. He marked the union with the Father. The whole thing's there, free. We've been sitting on this for years, some of us, for a long time. And God, it's prophetically marked. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, God could show up that night. But one thing's for sure, when that clock strikes midnight, I want this in a state of union in this house. We're going to start at 11 o'clock tomorrow night. We're going to worship God.
come midnight, we're going to hold this to him and say, God, there is a company of people in the earth that can see what you're doing, that have understanding of the times we live in, that have prophetically marked by your spirit that's been with us the signs of these last days, and we are in alignment, even so come. Because you said your words that you will now be found of us. Where we've been praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. He says, now I will hear you. You're in the direct prophetic season of the greatest single move of God in the history of the world. Where the early and the latter rain will come together. Everything that was poured out in the early rain will be here, but God's got some special stuff coming in the latter rain. He's going to crown his church. The early church was not crowned. The latter day church will crown. Fully, fully crown. God will give the two most powerful things in the earth, wealth and power, to his church in the last days. He's going to set his people in high places. We are not going out a suffering church. We are going out reigning kings and priests in the earth. You're going to see a paradigm shift across the board in so many industries. You're going to see it in the banking. You're going to see it in the financial realm. You're going to see it. You already see it in the political realm. Everything's going to shake. But through all that shaking, it's all going to shake right into the hands of the righteous. God's going to shake, shake, and shake. And when it starts falling from the trees, it's going to fall right into the hands of the righteous. And we are going to stand in one accord, seeing, knowing, understanding. God doesn't let anything go. If you look and read the Bible, every time God does something, he records it. There's always a record. I believe we're going to have this constitution, and everyone present that can be here is going to sign this. We're going to sign the prophetic declaration that this day has come. I guarantee it. Your signature is going to go down in the annals of heaven. I know it. Of that hour. Just to be there that day. Do you understand what's about to unfold? The apostolic revolution of the last days. The corporate eyewitness. The running of the white horse. The crowning of the church. The restoration of the house of David. The opening of everything Christ. Christ sits on the throne of David right now. The Bible says the government shall be upon his shoulders. After the throne of David, he will establish it. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 13, both specifically speak. It was not speaking of David. It was Christ that's sitting on David's throne. He never sat on David's throne in the earth. He took the throne of David up into heaven with him. In his ascension, he took the throne, the glory, the history, the precedence. He took all of it in his ascension. He brought it up to heaven. He sits on David's throne there. And God perfected it there. And he's going to bring it all back down here in this last days. The whole thing's coming down. The whole thing is coming down. And we are going to stand as first fruit witnesses of the hour, the second that that clock strikes. Go. Isn't that glorious? Just to be watching, waiting. One thing after another, after another, after another, after another. And then all of a sudden last year, at the end of the year, it just stopped. Fountain stopped. I'm like, this is weird for me to sit in my chair for 7 days and not have a revelation for 10 years. Revelation flowed. I'm like, what is up? Where's the revelation? Because that's what my bread and butter. And I'm like, another week goes by and I'm like, and the Spirit of the Lord said, the foundation of the house has been laid. It's there. The blueprint is there. It's public and it's free, and keep it free. If the foundation's laid, it's time to build. And we've been sitting in a 4 or 5 month holding pattern. I'm like, that has been very, I'll just be honest with you, it's been the most awkward season of my tenure with the right hand of God. This last 4 months has been incredibly awkward. It's like, God, and then all of a sudden, we're marching down to this day where we're holding up this Revelation, we're holding it, we're holding it. I'm like, I'm counting the time, Lord. We've missed it. I mean, this year's going to close out. Then he opens it. Said, you want this day to come. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. All I'm going to say, my friends, is everything we've been looking for, believing for, hoping for, praying for, fasting for, we're moving into the timeline now. We're a day and a half away. Let's give God glory. I know when heaven begins, whenever he decides, it's going to move so fast, so quick, so rapidly. And we're going to be here. First fruits. And come midnight, it's all about these words. What did he say about the last day church? Because you kept my words. You've had little strength. He said it twice. Church of Philadelphia, I'll set before you an open door. Because you've kept my words. You've had little strength, but you've kept my words. I'll set before you an open door. And because you've kept my words, I'll keep you from the hour of tribulation coming upon the whole earth. Let no man take your crown. The only church promised a crown in the earth. The only other one promised a crown was Church of Smyrna. He said, I'll give you a crown if you be faithful to death. In your death, I'll give you a crown. This is the only church promised a crown in the earth. Church of Philadelphia, because David's crown, perfected by Christ, is coming down. And you and me are all going to wear it. You might as well get used to the idea of joint heirship. You're not going to walk around as an orphan wearing a crown. We're moving very quickly to full age of maturity. Do you understand? You're going to wear the spiritual crown of God. The authority, the power, the weight of it. The glory of that whole move that you saw under Solomon. All that will restore. The glory of the latter day house will be greater than the former. Because I'm not going to raise one Solomon. I'm going to have a nation of Solomons. I am going to crown my church and I'm going to put wealth back in the hands of my church. The restoration of power, the glory of the latter reign. The early and the latter reign will run together. I'm going to add something to the early reign, which is everything we have at our present disposal now. But I'm going to add something. I'm adding the crown. And we see that in Revelation 5. He crowns his church. Pretty awesome days we live in. Come on, 71. After the end of 70 years. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. Listen, every one of our lives are probably going to change in ways that I don't think any of us understand. Thank you, Father, for the glory of this amazing day, for the blessing of this amazing day, for the time and the season. Thank you, Seven Spirits of God, for granting us the bana, the understanding of the times we live in, that we understand the times, that we are not walking around dazed and confused, that we know the time our lamps will be burning tomorrow night. Our lamps will all hold our lamp before you, and it will all be burning tomorrow night. We see, we've given eyes to see. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this amazing journey that we truly today, this morning, as they had this threshold service in the early service, prophetically walking through that threshold, prophetically seeing the threshold we're about to walk through.